Welcome to DG's Courtroom, brought to you by No Halftime. No Halftime is a DFS app that allows you to play one-on-one fantasy contests. Use promo code BBALL100 to get a deposit bonus worth up to $100. You can download the No Halftime app on the Apple Store or Amazon.com. This episode of DG's Courtroom is also sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Wednesday, December 28th, 2016. A 10-game slate on tap. Really nice slate. Especially after what was a kind of a nasty, just brutal four-game slate in terms of trying to roster players and trying to differentiate your lineups. So on Wednesday, we finally get a nice, glorious 10 games. The judge prefers 8 games is like ideal for me, but 10 is still fine. And we already have lots of news out, and it's going to make for a fun day. Hopefully you guys had a nice night on Tuesday. There actually were four fun games to watch. I don't know if you guys actually watched the games. I'm just trying to make creative and differentiate your lineups. Was somewhat tough on a four game slate, but it was a fun night. I did okay. I hope you guys did well. Before we get into the chambers results. If you could rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast, you know that what makes the judge happy. It makes the bailiff happy. It makes everybody happy. So that would be fantastic. Also, if you download the Draft app, I've done that like on three or four different shows. Oh man, after like 3 a.m., I think something in your brain, like half your, maybe not half your brain, but I think about 15% of your brain turns off after like three in the morning. So I think you guys are getting me at like 85%, which is still pretty good to get that much of the judge this late. But if you could download the app Draft. And then use the promo code DFBPOD. Make sure you guys are doing that. I have a big meeting, a big powwow with Draft coming up next week to determine if they're going to continue on with the show and to see how we're doing. So hopefully, if you haven't downloaded yet, what's been going on, man? I've been telling you every show. If you have, I appreciate it. Just again, if you have downloaded and you haven't put in that promo code, make sure you holler at me. You can do it via Twitter at DanielAGreen1, or you can email me via my website, dgcourtroomdfs.com. So let's get on that. Make the judge happy. The better we do with sponsors, the more shows we will have. And I think we both want more shows, right? So that's good stuff there. Other than that, if you want a premium service consultation with the judge, glorious. 30 whole minutes talking to the judge on the phone. Man, honestly, I should charge way more than I'm doing for those. But those are a lot of fun. Again, I can't do a ton of those just because I have just no time in the day right now. But I'm trying to do one a day for people who are truly in desperate need and who have have the fundamental issues on research or kind of roster construction, things of that nature. So reach out to me if you want to do that. And let us get down to chambers for Tuesday night. First of all, I should explain what chambers is, because every day I get like one or two people asking me what is chambers, and they say they're new listeners to the pod. I'm not sure, but chambers is basically just a daily tournament I'm running on FanDuel right now with some of the best players who play DFS. I mean, on any given night, there's a handful of professionals, a handful of lineup providers, and just a handful of really, really, really good players. And then we also have a lot of regular listeners as well who are new to DFS, somewhat experienced. The spectrum really is pretty unique and goes from inexperienced to elite professional players. So I kind of run three chambers tournaments every day. 20 people are in each one. It's $2 to enter, and it's just a lot of fun. And then I have a power rankings for it, which I tweet out and also are on my website. And it's just good times, man. So there you go. I explained what Chambers is. Also, if you are, if you do play Chambers, because I do have an Excel spreadsheet of all 300-400 players that have played so far, let me know your Twitter handle so I can give you a proper shout out if you do win. If you are fortunate enough to claim Chambers glory. So for Tuesday, the winners, Berserko, this charismatic enigma, I think is his Twitter name. His third win is fourth cash of the year. Man, this guy came out, so someone coming out of nowhere. I'm not exactly sure where this enigma has been hiding, but he's doing pretty well in Chambers land. He's trying to get make a name for himself, and he's close to being ranked in the power rankings. I think was hovering around like the 14 to 15 spot, even though I only listed the top 10. So congrats to him. Jaromir, who's the number 2 ranked player in the power rankings, won Chambers for the 7th time this year. That is the most out of anyone. That's even more than the number 1 ranked player. He's cashed 9 times. So when he cashes, he basically wins. I remember when Jaromir was just a very inexperienced young lad. He needed the judge's tutelage all the time. And now look at him. So congrats to him. I think he's J Ramirez on Twitter. And then Jordan5L, starting to make a little name for himself as well. His second win, his third time he's cashed. So congrats to you guys. Even though it was a 4-game slate, it was a pretty high-scoring night. Let's talk dream killers and dream lovers quickly. It's a 10-game slate, so we can't talk a ton of them. I am starting to think maybe on large slates I cut out all this nonsense about dream killers and dream lovers, although I love talking about it. And I'm not sure. I think you guys like it, but I'm not positive. On 10-game slates, there's so much to get to. So many players, as you guys know. But dream killers, Isaiah Thomas. And quite honestly, Isaiah Thomas was in a lot of winning lineups. He ended up the night pulling a 29-30 FanDuel points. So if you played him, you still easily could have cashed and easily made a lot of money. But he just didn't have, he was 8K, so he didn't hit 40 FanDuel points. The usage was a little bit down. Avery Bradley got more shots than him, so that was a little frustrating if you rostered him on Tuesday. Rodney Hood, my soul crusher, just I pray that you guys did not endure what I endured by watching the entire Lakers-Utah game and watching whatever Rodney Hood did on that basketball court, because he was comatose. He was not – he may have been there in reality or in real life. He was on the court physically, but mentally, dude was checked out. I mean, either he has no confidence whatsoever, or he has some, his illness is not whatever quote unquote illness he was suffering from last week, which was some like weird gastro bubble something with his stomach, or it was bizarre. Anyway, either that illness is still not cured, he's still dealing with that, or he just has no confidence whatsoever. Because I think at one point he was 0-for-1, that's 18 in 3-point attempts. He missed wide open layups, he missed wide open 3-pointers, he got blocked in midair. A Lual Deng came out of nowhere and blocked his shot. It was just horrifying watching Rodney Hood. He gave us 3 FanDuel points. 3. 1, 2, 3. Unfortunately for me, in 2 of my best lineups of the night, I had that little SOB in there. And I still was able to cash and make decent money in those lineups. But obviously you couldn't win big money if someone's going to give you a 3. And this is the difference. Like I don't regret the play. I'm still totally fine. And if you guys have talked to me like in the consultations or just been with me long enough, listening to the podcast or on Twitter, in tournaments, I'm totally fine with the play. I think the upside was there. I thought the ownership was going to be low, although it was still like 25%. When on a 4-game slate, it's hard to get someone super low owned. But against the horrendous Lakers defense, coming off this illness, which I thought he would be cured of, a week later or whatever it was. So I don't regret the play at all. It's just he just stunk. Brutal. Some of the worst basketball I've ever seen this individual play. I mean, I've seen Austin Rivers have a game like that. Early in the year, I saw Frank Kaminsky have a game like that. The next game, Frank Kaminsky put up like 35 FanDuel points. So that's just part of DFS. But when it happens and when it's one of your players and you're watching it live, there's just a sickening feeling. And I mean, I had to go outside at one point because I wanted to spit all over my TV. I was going to just go rapid fire spit machine at my TV. Although, as you guys listened to the podcast yesterday, and I got some wise advice from some of you about my don't spit at the TV. It's not a wise move. So Rodney Hood, what a disaster. Whiteside, if you played Whiteside, I don't know how you cash, especially when guys like Marc Gasol went nuts at center. And he was so expensive, put up like 23 FanDuel points. You can blame him a little bit, but also Miami without Dragic, even with Dragic, they don't get him the ball that much. They had like Justice Winslow playing point guard a lot, especially with that first unit. It was a bizarre game for that Miami game as well. So Whiteside didn't get the ball. He was frustrated, didn't play well, got in foul trouble. It was a disaster for him. Rudy Gobert against the Lakers, man, he was super disappointing. I think he still stumbled into a double-double and like 28 FanDuel points or something like that maybe. But against the Lakers, you expected so much more. And Julius Randle was destroying him. I couldn't believe how much Julius Randle was going right at him and attacking him. And that is the way to – if there is one way to attack Gobert, you don't post him up. He's too kind of strong and too big to post up. But if you kind of face him and attack him that way, take him a little bit out on the perimeter, like Julius Randle is just more athletic and quicker. And I was really stunned at how easily he was scoring on Gobert. So Julius Randle was really impressive on Tuesday, and Gobert was not. Tyler Johnson, even though he ended up basically hitting value, he sucked. He stumbled into value. I don't even know how, because he did not play well at all. If you played Harrell, Bogut killed him. And there was lots of late breaking news. And this slate really annoyed the judge, because it was a 4-game slate, and then it was a 7:30 lineup lock, so we had to wait around an extra half hour. And then in that extra half hour, we had like lots of late breaking news, including Bogus Bogut was going to decide to play, and then the Rockets were going to start, you know, Nene instead of Harrell. I think that might have not even come out until after lineup lock. But Bogus Bogut playing, that destroyed so much. I mean, that hurt Powell's value for Dallas, and also Dallas can't rebound, but Bogut's a good rebounder. And then Bogut ended up playing like 10 minutes anyway. But it really did impact Harrell, who could not get going. They did start Nene. Nene had a much better game. And yeah, so Harrell was a disaster, like 12 FanDuel points. And if you played him, you probably struggled. From that same game, Darren Williams, Houston destroyed Dallas. I mean, Houston, wow, they played so well. They didn't miss all the three-pointers they were taking and making. It was pretty amazing. And then Mac Daddy, Shelvin Mack for Utah, against another guy against the Lakers, just sucked. Everyone from Utah sucked, except Joe Ingles and our boy Gordon Hayward, who went nuts. And if you play Favors, quite honestly, as I did in one lineup, Favors did okay. He basically ended up coming close to value in only like 15 or whatever minutes he played. Dream Lovers, there were Dream Lovers, guys. We made some sweet love on Tuesday. Andrew Harrison for Memphis. This kid, the rookie, played 44 minutes. I mean, I knew I didn't even want to play him, quite honestly. It just in some of my lineups, I had to play him to get to fit Westbrook. Like I had to get someone like 3 point, under 4K. So I stumbled into playing Harrison. He rewarded me with over like 30 FanDuel points. He was the best value point guard of the night. 44 minutes, that came out of nowhere. I'm pretty sure Memphis sent one of their backup point guards to like the D League. So they had like no backup point guard to really play. So yeah, he did really well. Gordon Hayward was tremendous overall. He gave us a 50 burger. And thank you on Twitter for all the suggestions about what to call the 40, 50, 60s. No, I can't remember. I got so many suggestions. I gotta look them over again and figure out which ones we want to go with. But 50, the 50 burger, that's gold. That one we have to use. That's been around forever. Julius Randle, as I mentioned, he was fantastic with out of the there was really three good point power forwards. They all did well. It was Randle, Ryan Anderson, and Cantor, and all three actually basically hit value. But Randle was the guy you wanted. I mean, to really win big money, you needed Gordon Hayward, you needed Randle, and you needed Marc Gasol. Those were the and Josh Richardson as well, I guess I would say. Speaking of Josh Richardson, he finally came through for us with 34 FanDuel points. And it's real simple, man. He just started making the shots. He did nothing different. He just got some confidence. Like, I mean, in the second quarter, I think he banked in a three, and that's all it takes. I mean, you hit one or two shots, and then he was ended up being like 8 for 13 or something from the floor. And then that's it. And then he gets 34 FanDuel points because the minutes are there. So yeah, sometimes it can just be as simple as making shots and getting some confidence. I just wish Rodney Hood would have had some of that on Tuesday. Marc Gasol was terrific for Memphis. 50 burger for him. Avery Bradley was I played zero Avery Bradley. He had a really nice day. I think he had over 40 FanDuel points against Tony Allen defense. Tony Allen was another dream lover. Both those guys. It's so, I mean, that Memphis Boston game was infuriating. It should have been the lowest over under of the night. I object to that stupid pace of that game. Vegas is letting me down in key spots this year. The pace was, I don't understand why the pace was that fast in that game, but it was. And a lot of guys went off. And Bradley and Tony Allen both had really nice nights. And lastly, I'll say Gerald Green. You guys probably didn't play him. No one did. The judge didn't play him either. He was on my radar, but I couldn't even pull the trigger on that one. I think he ended up with like 25, 30 FanDuel points. He had his like one game ever out of every like 20 where he got hot. Injury news for Wednesday. Monte Ellis is still dealing with sore ego / sore groin. Rodney Stuckey is out. Evan Fournier is questionable with that heel. So again, when he's out, Aaron Gordon and Ibaka see the big upticks in usage. Tim Hardaway Jr. looks like he is going to be questionable with – no, it looks like doubtful. I think he's doubtful with the groin. Actually, no, my bad. It's questionable with the groin. If he's out, in theory, the Bays would be a solid play, but he's GPP only. Doug McDermott's got a shin. Jeremy Lin, hamstring. That sucks for Jeremy Lin because I wanted to play him. J.J. Redick, hamstring. Chris Paul, hamstring. Come on, lots of hamstrings. So, yeah, as you guys know with the Clippers – Austin Rivers gets a massive usage bump. Fat Felton, if whoever starts for the Clippers will be a really solid value point guard. And Dame Judy Dench-Lillard is doubtful with a sprained ankle. So lock and load maybe on CJ McCollum? Although I'm not sure on a 10-game slate it's going to be lock and load, but it's going to be a really good play. Let's go Vegas lines. So we're still waiting on two, but we do have eight that are up. Toronto Golden State is the game of the night in terms of over-under and might be the best game to watch too. 225 over-under. Golden State's favored by 9.5. But Toronto's really good. I think this game can stay relatively close. There's a lot of guys in this game to target. So intriguing game. Normally I only want to play the Warriors in tournaments. That's probably will stay the same. But I will have a lot of the Warriors and a lot of Toronto guys in tournaments. The Toronto guys, I might do cash on Wednesday. Minnesota, Denver, 217 over under. Brooklyn, Chicago, 213 over under. Phoenix, San Antonio, 213. The two nasty games. And remember, on slates like this, you got to narrow the player pool. The Bucks at Detroit, I might X that entire game out at 199. What's 199 over under? Charlotte, Orlando, 199. Another game that I, for the most part, I might just X out. Yeah, I mean, those two games can, you know, basically the judge may consider it like an 8-game slate. Obviously, maybe a little Giannis thrown in there. And for Charlotte, the Charlotte Batums, maybe I'll play a little Batum. And if Fournier is out, maybe a couple Magic guys, but again, on this 10-game slate, also, you do not have to force value. There's enough guys out there where you don't have to force value. Pace. Teams playing up in pace that I want to target. The Bulls are playing Brooklyn, so they are playing way up in pace. An extra 6 points per 100 possessions in pace. That's massive. That's one of the biggest increases in pace I've seen in a while because the Bulls are one of the slowest teams in pace, and Brooklyn is the fastest. So the Bulls are favored by 9.5. The game. I wish it was in Brooklyn. The game is in Chicago. I think they played earlier in the year, and the Bulls beat them by like 30. But that was when earlier in the year, before the Bulls were struggling really bad. And Brooklyn does have a tendency to keep most of their games close. So a lot of Bulls will be GPP plays for me for sure. The Spurs are playing way up in pace against Phoenix. I think Phoenix is like 2 or 3 in the league in pace. Toronto playing way up in the league, way up in pace against Golden State. And then those are the three main teams. And then you have, those are really only the three teams that I want to put an extra emphasis on, Bulls, Spurs, Raptors. Defenses versus position, what sticks out to the judge? At point guard, you can attack Atlanta, so D. Rose maybe a little bit more. Brooklyn is horrendous, so a little Rondo. Denver, Moody cannot defend a soul. So Rubio, hate playing Rubio. The Pelicans cannot defend point guard, so... Whichever Clipper is going to be playing, hopefully it's Fat Gravy Juice Felton because I do not want to roster Austin Rivers. Shooting guard, Brooklyn and Denver, obviously. You guys should know this, right? You guys know Brooklyn at every position. And then Denver, Atlanta also suck at shooting guard. And then even though Denver with Gary Harris, we're not entirely sure if that's going to maintain or stay the same. The Knicks are horrendous at shooting guard. So the Knicks are really bad at shooting guard and center. So for Atlanta, in theory, if the Bays, man, the Bays, Bazemore's got to come through for us one of these nights, right? Dwight Howard is potentially in play because the Knicks give up the second most points to defend opposing centers. You look at small forward. Portland cannot defend small. Portland can't defend small forward, power forward, or center. They're third. Give up third most to small forward, the most to power forward, and the third or fourth most to center. So for the Kings, Rudy Gay, I haven't played him in a while. Rudy Gay is going to be a really nice tournament play on Wednesday, and DeMarcus Cousins, an elite level cash and tournament play. Other than that, spending too much time on this crap. Indiana, you can attack a power forward. So Markieff Morris, maybe. How about that? On a 10-game slate, no one's going to be on him. At center, you can attack Phoenix. So in theory, maybe does Paul Gasol finally get some run? LaMarcus Aldridge is certainly getting some run. Why not Gasol? And Charlotte, you can attack at center too. So maybe some Vucevic is going to be in play. I don't know. We'll see. All right, let's go. Let's go through the plays. Google Hangouts, do not stop recording. All right, point guard John Wall leads us off at 9.5K. 35% usage. To me, right now, he's a cash game lock for me. Lock's a strong word, but he's in my cash game lineups right now. I just love the safety it's going to give me on Wednesday. He never lets me down. I can't remember last time he's let me down, quite honestly. 47, 36. I guess it would be that game, but that was the game Milwaukee blew them out, and he still rallied for 36. 47, 39, 40, 54, 53, 48, 47. So super safe. Indiana, they give up like the 10th or 11th most to point guards. So Wall should have no issues there. The pace should be pretty good for him. I like Wall more at home, so all signs point to me playing him in cash games, and he'll be a good tournament play too. After that, then you go Kyle Lowry, 8.7K. If there's a day to play him in cash, quite honestly, he's always pretty much a fine cash game play. And in the highest overrunner of the day versus Golden State, getting some Steph Curry defense, safe in all formats, elite level tournament play on Wednesday. I will have a lot of exposure to Kyle Lowry. 41, 48, 45, the last three. So he's been playing better too. You know he's going to get the big minutes. And he should be, if that game stays close, he could put up a 55 Vando points. Steph Curry, I'll have some game stacks of this Toronto Golden State game. So I'll have a Lowry Curry as my two point guards. I mean, you would think that Curry would have some pride. Show some pride, you little, I don't know what I was going to say, a little maggot. Can I call him a maggot? I don't know what to call him. He just annoys me. Yeah, that's what maggots do, right? Maggots are just annoying. He's just like, why do you suck in every finals game? Why do you suck in every big game? Why do you suck the whole year, quite honestly, as far as DFS is concerned? Like, what's going on with Steph Curry? Why is your usage rate continuing to fall? Why do you hide in a corner like Paul George, like a scared little child? Like, I'm just super frustrated with Steph Curry these days. We all know the upside's there. He's still a good tournament play. I'm not going to touch him for cash. 8.4K, though, yeah, I mean, I'll have some exposure. It's just it's super annoying. He's too talented to be doing what he's doing, especially like on Christmas Day when Kyrie Irving just made a clown out of him. It was embarrassing. I want to play Ayesha Curry. Can I play Ayesha? I'm going to search Ayesha. Nothing comes up. All right, if I could play Ayesha Curry, I'd play her on Tuesday or Wednesday. Kemba Walker. Well, I mean, so for the Charlotte Batums, the only good news here is Kemba Walker's price has fallen down to 7.6K, which that's for him, that's a really, 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 really good price if he was healthy. I don't know if he's healthy because he's playing like crap. Against Brooklyn, he gives me 29 Vandal points. Against the Bulls and Rondo, he gives me 33. I mean, that's not horrible, right? I mean, that's for 7 point at his salary. I mean, he's got to get me, probably on a 10-game slate, I probably need 40 to feel really good about it. So I like the price. The pace of this game is going to be disgusting, though. So I'll probably only tournaments. People are not going to want to play him because he's hurt everyone lately. But I will play him a little bit in tournaments and just hope that he gets it going. And I mean, the thing is, he's just missing shots. He's missing shots. So he needs to pull a Josh Richardson on steroids on Wednesday and just make some threes, and then he could give us 50 FanDuel points. But it's right now. I mean, the scary part about Kemba is a lot of that offense is running through Batum. So as large stretches, he hides in a corner. He had the Paul George syndrome. And that's what we want to see. So that's the one reason why tournaments only. Eric Bledsoe, 7.5K at San Antonio. Didn't they just play San Antonio? Yeah, about a week ago they played San Antonio, and he had 26 FanDuel points. You can attack San Antonio at both guard positions. So that's a fair price for him. And in tournaments, I think that's an okay play. On a 10-game slate, no one's going to be on him. So I think it's somewhat sneaky. He does have some decent upside. Clearly not an elite play, but it's fine. Jeff Teague, 7.5K. If you played Teague in the last game for Indiana in the Indiana Teagues, you were not happy because he basically got benched on the stretch. They went to Aaron Brooks in the fourth quarter, and Teague only played 24 minutes. But before that, I mean, he was legit 46, 46, 47, 42, and 44. Make no mistake about it. Like, that was an anomaly that game. I will have no issues going back to the well. I mean, the one issue I see with him is, I mean, you look at all the point guards with usage rates on Wednesday, and there are, wow, there's 11, 12 that have higher usage rates than Jeff Teague. Like, that scares me. The usage rate for him is only 27%. Which is still totally fine. I mean, Kyle Lowry, he's basically right behind Kyle Lowry. They basically have almost identical. So, you know, you don't have to do it on a 10-game slate. But if you want to have a Teague and Wall and watch that, you know, because they're playing each other, a lineup and stack that game, a little mini stack, you can do it. He has been consistent this year. I do wish the price was, you know, closer to 7K. But, you know, I'm totally fine with it. Like, I love attacking guys who are coming off really bad games. Not horrible guys, but guys who have had really good years. And he's had one bad game, so I'm fine with it. Drew Holiday, 7K. He's been frustrating, man. But if he's going to get some fat felt in their Austin Rivers defense, you know, I'm going to throw him in a tournament or two. I'm going to do my usual. I'll have one tandem lineup, a Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis lineup, where hopefully Drew can give me some assists, and those assists go to Anthony Davis. He's 28, 36, 42 the last three. So, I mean, if you tell me the floor is 28 and the ceiling's 42, that's okay at that price. The problem is it's going to be a pretty slow-paced game, I would think, for the most part. But I love the aspect of getting Fat Felton or Austin Rivers, and he'll be low-owned. Dennis Schroeder, 6.8K. Schroeder is one of the guys with a massive usage rate of close to 30%. His price has come down because he's coming off a 16 FanDuel point net against Minnesota. But this guy screams tournament play for me. I'm going to get some Derrick Rose defense. Another guy like Teague coming off a really bad game. He's similar to Teague in a lot of ways, except not as consistent this year, but a similar upside. And for tournaments, that's all I care about is upside. So I'm not going to roll him out in cash, but for tournaments, yeah. I mean, I love this. I love the price. I love everything about this. And Atlanta got destroyed last game too. So the whole team has to bounce back. I am a little mad because I think Dwight's going to be playing. So that hurts him a little bit. But I still think Schroeder at 6.8K is in a good spot. Derrick Rose, yeah, he's actually a decent play too because you can attack the hell out of Atlanta guards. They give up the second most FanDuel points to opposing guards, and if you go D Rose over Schroeder, you're saving $400. When he plays this year, he's been, you know, in DFS terms, he's been good. Real life, I think he hurts the Knicks, but on DFS, he's been pretty solid. 33, 30, and 38 the last three games. He's getting a lot of minutes, man. Like, he gets 35 plus minutes as long as the games stay close. So he's in a good spot. I don't think he's going to be high owned. I still would never touch him in cash games, but if you want to roll him out in tournaments, I think he's also in another really good spot. Elfrid Payton at 6.3K. So his price keeps creeping up. I'm not going to touch him in this game. I'm just not going to do it. He's been good though. 32, 46, 24, 36 the last, you know, 4 games or so. So I can't argue with that production. If you want to go there in tournaments, you can. I don't want a ton of action in this Charlotte Orlando game. It's one game that I'm going to try to be off of a little bit. And so with that price keeps coming up, I'm not going to be playing Payton too much. Ricky Rubio. So you can attack the, you know, Moutier and Denver defensively. Rubio was coming off a nice stretch of, you know, low 30s, and then he had a 21 Fanduel point night against Atlanta. But, I mean, the assists, the actual points are disgusting. They're horrifying. They're terrifying. They're stupefying. They're 3-3. I'm not kidding. That's an actual 3-3 points the last 2 games. But, you know, you roster him for assists and steals. And the last, you know, look at those last 5, 6, 7 games with an assist. 10-10, 8-8, 12-7-10. So the assists are finally, you know, coming up. He's another guy. If he just makes some shots, he can go from a 30 Fanduel point night to a 40 pretty quickly. Now, easier said than done because he hasn't done it this year. But 5.8K, I think it's relatively safe. I think he's got about a floor of maybe 20 on Wednesday with a ceiling of, you know, 38, 40 potentially. So another guy, point guard as always, it's loaded. He's in a decent spot. Rondo, 5.7K. Rondo got benched the entire fourth quarter, the Bulls' last game. Only 18 FanDuel points. And, you know, tournaments only would you use Rondo. If you just want a cheap exposure to this Brooklyn game, you can do it. I'm still not even a big fan of him, even though it's against Brooklyn, because how is he going to take advantage of Brooklyn? I mean, I guess because of the pace, you know, more assists, more. Yeah, I mean, for him, that's the only way. He's going to push the ball up more. It is a game more suited to his style of play. But with that said, if I have 10 lineups, maybe I have Rondo in one. Same with Reggie Jackson. If I have 10 lineups, maybe I throw him in one just because that price is too cheap. He's 5.4K in a 7K body. Talent-wise, he should be 7K. And I still think at some point this year he will be. Detroit's still trying to figure out how to use him properly this year because they're so not happy with him coming back to the team and coming up with a – he's got 31.2% usage rate, which, you know, if you're – John Wall or like Westbrook or Harden, that's fine. But if you're Reggie Jackson, teammates take issue with that. So the minutes aren't great right now. The slow paced game, Dellavedova is a good defender. Not an ideal spot for him here for Reggie Jackson. But the price is just too low. I mean, look, the holiday. It's still the holiday time, right? Until New Year. So we can still go a little bargain shopping still. On Wednesday, we can get some cheap Reggie Jackson. I will absolutely do it in at least one tournament. He could give me a 40. He's going to give us a 40 Fanduel point soon, a 40 Fanduel point night soon. So I'd say in the next week or so, he's going to. So like, and if you want to get on players, you want to get a day early, not a day late. Being a day late on a guy doesn't do anything. So I will be playing some Reggie Jackson and hope he pops. All right, then we got the under 5K guys. You got Ty Lawson going up against, I guess McCollum would be defending him, or Crabb. I mean, they're not even, I mean, because Portland's rolling out not even a true point guard with Lillard out. They basically started Crabb so I'm not sure if McCollum or Crabb would be defending Ty Lawson, but yeah, on a 10 game slate, I don't think you need to force Lawson. The price has come up to 4.8K, so I don't think so. Austin Rivers, 4.6K. If he starts, yeah. Tony Parker, Phoenix is horrendous against guards, although San Antonio's favored by like 15 points, and they should blow out Phoenix. Fat Felton's 4.1K, guys. So if he starts, he's going to be a lock and load in my cash games, and I'm going to love him for tournaments too. Maybe not a lock and load. I'm just thinking of all the burger CTEs and all the at the buffet line he's at right now. But I will use him if he's going to start, and hopefully we find out that they play at 8 p.m. Eastern. Hopefully we know before lineup lock. If he's starting, I will be using somewhere. That's it for point guard. Shooting guard. Giannis, 10.3K. I don't love the game here. It's a disgusting, nasty, slow-paced game. Have the Bucks played Detroit yet this year? I don't think they have. I'm not sure who's going to be defending him for Detroit. I mean, I'm sure he'll probably see a little KCP defense at some point. And then I'm not – I mean, I don't know who else would be defending him. But Giannis is always going to be a fine play. He's so good, so consistent. So I have no issues playing him. I don't think you need to do it on this slate. But he's if he gives me a 50, if he ends up with 50, 60, would I be surprised? No, of course not. It's Giannis. DeMar DeRozan, 8.6K, in a really juicy spot here. But also, what's interesting, I took a look at Klay Thompson's defense this year, and it's not the same. And I legitimately think this has something to do with when guys are not happy and getting the ball enough on the offensive end, it absolutely impacts their defensive. That they just don't try as hard defensively. It's just kind of just what happens. Maybe he's doing. I'm sure he's not doing it on purpose. Maybe it's just subconsciously. Just you're not as kind of intense on the defensive end. And Klay Thompson is not the same defender this year. If you look at all the advanced data. So DeMar DeRozan, a decent matchup here in terms of just against Klay Thompson defense. In the last year, that might have worried me a little bit. This year, I don't care at all about that. I love the pace of this game. DeMar, he occasionally will throw a bad game, a stinker out there. But for the most part this year, he's got a floor of 30, 35 with a ceiling of 50. Now, I think you should increase that a little bit for this game because it's Golden State and the pace is super high. I think Toronto's going to get up for this game. Now, Golden State probably will as well because they're coming off their bad Christmas loss. But DeMar's in a good spot, probably tournaments only for me, but I think he's a intriguing guy. And you can save $1,700 if you don't want to pay up for Giannis. Batum, 7.6K. He's been awesome lately. I mean, just so consistent. 43, 50, 40, 42, 25, 42, 41. I don't want to play a lot of this game. And quite honestly, I probably still will throw Batum in a couple of tournament lineups. But I like the fact that Dame Lillard is out. I like CJ McCollum a little bit better for my cash games on Wednesday. The first game out, when Lillard was out, McCollum put up 41 Fando points. He's basically playing point guard for them. He had 7 assists and 29 actual points. Sacramento, they really struggled to defend the shooting guard position. So I think McCollum he might be a lock and load for me in cash games. I just can't. It's very hard for me to envision in a close game him not getting 35, 40 Fando points again. So I love CJ McCollum on Wednesday. D Wade, 7.1K, Brooklyn. Man, I haven't been playing Wade as much this year, and this is my favorite player in the NBA in terms of just being a fan. I mean, Brooklyn, yeah. I mean, every Bulls in play. It's just he's been good. 38, 39 the last two. So I have no issues playing Wade. I'll find a way to squeeze him into a couple lineups. It's hard because the Bulls should blow out Brooklyn. Although the Bulls have been playing so freaking bad. Who's going to guard Wade? Kilpatrick? Are you kidding me? He should feast on whoever's guarding him. All the Bulls are in play. Bradley Beal, 6.7K. I think I prefer McCollum, maybe, and probably Wade a little bit to Beal on Wednesday. But Beal's he gets so many minutes, he gets so many shots. He's a little bit better on DK because you get the 3-point bonus. But yeah, he's fine. He typically goes overlooked a little bit. And he'll be somewhat of a contrarian play. But if you want to pivot off of him, of a McCollum and go Beal in tournaments, yeah, you could absolutely do it. I mean, he could easily put up a 40, 45 Fando point night. Zach LaVine, another shooting guard in a really good spot here against Denver. Gary Harris's defense is a little bit better than Willithrow Barton. But LaVine's locked into big minutes. It's hard to trust LaVine in cash games because he's still kind of a one-trick pony. A lot of times he gets all his minutes and doesn't do a whole lot with them. especially if his shot's not falling. 25-19, then he had a 50-29-34, 29-40, 33-24. So he's fine. I mean, he's just another guy. I'm probably going to go only tournaments on a 10-game slate. Because you know, if LaVine ever did more like rebounds, assists, steals, and get me some peripheral stats, I would love to use him in cash and take advantage of those minutes. But you know, right now it's so scoring dependent, so it's a little hard to be a cash game guy, especially on a 10-game slate. Klay Thompson, 6.3K. All the Warriors for me are really going to be tournament plays only. If you want to use Klay in cash, you can, but like he needs little over 30 to hit value. He's done that like two out of the last 10 games. So frustrating. Will the Thrill Barton, man, his price has come up from 5.3 to 5.7K because he put up a 42 Fanduel point net against the Clippers. Like the thing about him, he's played over 32 minutes the last three games. Like when he gets hot, Mike Malone just keeps him in and we'll play him a lot of minutes. If he comes in and gets cold, he will not get a lot of minutes, and he will kill your team. Thus the nickname, Will the Thrill. You don't know what you're going to get. So tournament play only. I hope you're really low-owned on this slate. And, I mean, you know, he's fine. I just I hate playing him, and I hate that he's destroyed me a couple nights ago because I had a lot of Gary Harris. And oh, it was a Will Barton night, not a Gary Harris night. Devin Booker, 5.6K. At San Antonio, if you can attack San Antonio, you attack him at point guard and shooting guard. He's starting to get better after a little doldrum a few weeks ago. 25, 39, 44, 25, 38, the last, you know, five games or so. The price is still very fair. I think it was 6K, so it's come down a little bit here. He's in a good spot. I think a lot of people are still scared of playing against anyone against San Antonio, and this is a potential blowout for sure. So tournament only, but he'll be, I mean, 10% owned, maybe 8% owned, something really low. So he'll be a nice tournament play. KCP, yeah, I mean, I'm just gonna pretend like this game doesn't exist for the most part. So maybe I'll throw him in maybe one tournament or so. He's been good the last two games, 33-34. The problem is the two before that, 14-9. So, you know, in a pace down game versus the Bucks, not a huge fan. Other than that, then you got Jamal Crawford at 5K. So his price has come way up because they need him to score. His usage skyrockets when there's no Blake, no CP3, no Redick. I mean, God, who's going to score for them? He has all the shots he can handle. So, I mean, he's basically Lou Williams on steroids right now. That's the closest comparison I can come up with. So yeah, he's fine for all formats. Especially if, you know, CP3 and Redick are out again. Gary Harris, 4.6K. Oh man. So against the Clippers, he got 31 minutes last game. That wasn't the issue. The minutes were there. It's just only 16 Fanduel points. At that price, I mean, I'm going to use him again on Wednesday. I mean, maybe I won't use him in cash games, but we've seen him. You know, just about a week ago, he was giving us 30 Fanduel points a night, so he can easily give us 6-7 times value. And it's just crazy if you play a lot of tournament lineups, it's crazy to pass that up. Jody Meeks, my sneaky ninja of the night from a couple nights ago, the price come up a little bit now to 4.4K. If Fournier is out, he's in play again. 24 and 21 the last two games. So I think, you know, he's going to be right around that again. I think he's going to find a way to get to 20 Fanduel points. Now, is that enough on a 10-game slate? Do you need to do it? Probably not. You know, he's probably a guy right now that I'd only look to target on smaller slates. But you can do it. And if he does get hot, he can put up a 30 Fanduel point night. The problem is the minutes don't seem to be eclipsing that 30 barrier. And Vogel is really weird with minutes, but I don't know what the hell Vogel is doing. I mean, Aaron Gordon, what he does with Aaron Gordon's minutes is one of the most mystifying things in the 21st century. Other than that, that's about as low as I'm going to go for shooting guard on a 10-game slate. Oh, I guess I'll mention Crabbe. So if Crabbe's going to start again at 3.6K, he got 35 minutes against Toronto. Now, he did basically nothing with those 35 minutes, and he has the weirdest FanDuel picture ever. he only gave you 15 FanDuel points. But 35 minutes, 3.6K? The one thing, Terry Stotts is weird about his rotations, about who he's going to play. So I don't trust him. Hopefully we'll find out who's going to start before lineup lock. I don't know if we will, though. If we find out Crabbe's going to start, maybe I will throw him in some lineups or in the, maybe one or two. Because that's a lot of minutes to get, and he should do – he does have some offensive game. He should be able to do a little bit better than that and give us 20, 25 FanDuel points. Small forward. Actually, let me take a drink. I need to quench my thirst. I do not have a smoothie for this show either. I'm very – it's throwing me off. Do not feel as kind of what's the right word? Refreshed. I do not feel as refreshed without my smoothie. All right, man. We have a long way to go. Let's go. Let's pick it up. Kevin Durant, 10K. Fine for all formats. I mean, obviously. I mean, it's Kevin Durant coming off a 663 Fando point night. The price has come up because of that. Let me just realize. Only thing I'm wondering is what is Toronto's DVP versus also, Damari Carroll defense. I mean, Damari Carroll might as well play some defense because he's not doing anything offensively. That's for dang sure. But whatever. Durant's matchup proof, as far as I'm concerned. Will I use him in cash? I don't know yet. But elite tournament level play on Wednesday. Kawhi Leonard, 8.5K. I don't know if I'm going to use Kawhi too much. They played Phoenix. A week and a half ago, only 27 minutes. I would expect right around there again because they should absolutely blow Phoenix out at home. He got 39 FanDuel points in only 27 minutes, but that's, you know, on a 10 game slate, I need him to give me 45 or so to feel good about it. So maybe tournaments. I'm not sure what I want to do with Kawhi. I will not. If the games could stay close for some reason, it would be the ideal situation for him. But I just don't know how Phoenix keeps that game close. So maybe I play him in like 2 out of 10 lineups in tournaments. Jimmy Butler, somewhat of a similar thing, except Chicago is nowhere near as good as San Antonio. So Brooklyn has a much better chance of keeping the game close than Phoenix does. Therefore, and Brooklyn is almost dead last at guarding every position. So yeah, give me some Jimmy Butler. I mean, he has not been good lately. Minutes are still there, but 31, 32, 37, 37, 36. It's, you know, I'm not sure if he – maybe he's getting tired because he's had to do so much offensively for that team this year. The Bulls are playing 4-on-5 on both ends with Rondo. But this is a good spot for him. Hopefully people will overlook him. I'm gonna jump on the Jimmy Butler train on Wednesday. Hopefully it can pay off for me a little bit. I'm not going to go crazy. He's not going to be a core player for me. I'm still not sure what I want to do in cash games. I think he's fine for cash games. But, I'm just not sure if I'm going to do it. But I will have a lot of exposure to him. Carmelo, 7.8K. Man, on Christmas Day, after the first quarter, first half, you know, I basically was calling him a dream killer. And then he ended up with 42 FanDuel points. He's somewhat up and down. I mean, he'll absolutely have a night or two that's going to kill your lineup. He's still Carmelo, so he's scoring dependent for the most part. Still one trick pony. The price is fair though. I like the pace of this game. You know, on a 10 game slate, he's not going to. I mean, he's going to be what, 15% owned maybe. You know, if that, you know, people are going to play Durant, Kawhi, and Butler probably over him. So he's more of a contrarian pivot if you want to pivot off to him and play him in tournaments. Paul George, 7.6K. So Paul George's price keeps falling just like his game does. I don't understand why he stands in the corner so much. I also don't understand. I know his coach has been saying a lot lately how he doesn't understand why Paul George is not getting calls and going to the free throw line. I would say Coach McMillan, it's because he stands in a corner and doesn't do anything and he's not aggressive. That's what I would say. Take it from the judge. I object to Coach McMillan even getting upset and saying a comment like that because that's absurd. If you watch Paul George play, there's nothing that it's so passive. It's so docile. It's absurd. With that said, 7.6, I mean, he's a 9K player in talent. I don't understand. I don't know what the hell is going on. Is he that scared of Jeff Teague? Is he having off court issues? Does anyone live in Indiana? Can somebody tell the judge what's going on here? Super frustrating. And I want to check Washington's DVP. I think they're like really good this year against. Yeah, they're good with the 6 fewest FanDuel points to small forwards this year. Otto Porter, well, defensively last year he was a train wreck. He's now one of like the top opposing small forwards. So not a great spot here for Paul George, except for the price and the fact that you could get him at a 5% in tournaments. And if you guys know me, have done consultations with me, you know that's something that I want to attack. So yeah, I mean, I will have at least one lineup of Paul George at 7.6K. Because we're getting him at a bargain, and he played 39 minutes last game. He's another guy. I forgot who did I mention? I mentioned how Reggie Jackson's going to get a 40 FanDuel point night. I mean, Paul George will get a 50 FanDuel point night in the next week or two. I mean, he's going to. It's going to happen. Trust the judge. Hashtag trust the judge. Rudy Gay. Rudy Gay is in an elite spot here. Elite spot. I'm calling this one 7.2K. While Portland. They struggled to defend small forward, power forward, center. He was injured for a lot of games. Everyone forgot Rudy Gay can play. First game back against Philly, he looked pretty good at 29 FanDuel points. This price is tumbled down a little bit. Again, I want to get guys a day before, not a day late. So I will pounce at Rudy Gay, 7.2K. Not cash games, but I will pounce at the tournament. Hope the game stays close. Hope it the pace is higher than projected. And hope I can be rolling and laughing in money. Me and the bailiff can have a big day at Petco on Thursday. Gallinari, Wilson Chandler's price dropped way down because he's a little crybaby after a 6 FanDuel point night. So Gallinari's next, 6.3K. He's been pretty rock steady. 41-36 the last two games. And before that, 25-28, 21-36, 20-31. Relatively safe guy. The usage, I would like to see it higher. Denver has been a weird team to watch play because you're never sure who's going to go off. It seems like it's someone new every day, and now they got this new starting five. So Gallo's fine. No one's playing him. He's upside is somewhat limited this year. He doesn't really give you the 40-50s that he did in years past. I don't know if he's incapable of doing that anymore. But on a 10-game slate, he's okay. I don't love it. I don't hate it. In the same game, Wiggins. Yeah, maybe I'll do one lineup with a Wiggins Gallinari or a Wiggins Chandler. But you know, Wiggins and LaVine, but they're both one-trick ponies. Both lots of minutes. Play them. You know, they always should be in play just because of the minutes. But I can't trust them for cash. Otto Porter, he's coming off his 50 burger or whatever the hell he had last game out. Yeah, I'm not chasing that those points with his 14% usage rate. No, thank you. Wilson Chandler, I will jump back on Wilson Chandler. He owes me 6 FanDuel points last game. 6. He basically Rodney Hooded me last game. So I'm gonna jump right back and play some Wilson Chandler again. I want that bad taste out of my mouth. He should bounce back and. The price has dipped down. It dropped at least $400-$600. So I hope recency bias keeps people off him. I'll play a little bit of him on Wednesday. Other than that, under 5K, a guy that I really, really like, guys, on Wednesday is Evan Turner. With Lillard out and Stotts not even using a legitimate point guard, McCollum's running point guard, and then the second Evan Turner gets in the game, Evan Turner is handling the ball a ton. And he's basically their de facto point guard. He played 27 minutes, only gave and got us 20 FanDuel points at that. At his price, that's basically value. He could give you a 30, 35, 40 FanDuel point night if he gets enough minutes and enough usage. And I think the upside is there. I think he's safe, quite honestly, for all formats. It's a little tough to say that on a 10-game slate, but I'm going to be using a lot of Evan Turner on Wednesday. Other than that, that's Sepulosa, Aaron Gordon, Hollis Jefferson, the Bays. I'll use the Bays again in some tournaments. 4.1K, so dirt cheap. And that's about it. Wow. Our boy Damari Carroll's 3.6K. FanDuel cannot wait to unload him. I'll play him in one lineup. At Golden State, they're going to need him to play a lot of minutes to defend Durant. Why can't he stumble into some three-pointers like Josh Richardson, get some confidence? So Damari Carroll, 3.6K. If FanDuel wants to give him to me for free, I'll play him in a lineup or two in that high over-under against Golden State, yeah. Power forward, Anthony Davis, 11.3K. He's tough to play for cash, especially on a large slate like this where – you know, he's killed us so many nights. Did they play the Clippers? I could have swore they just played the Clippers. Then again, all these games become a blur to me. I played the Clippers about a month ago, 35 FanDuel points. That's not good. I think Blake was playing that game. See, on paper, he's going up against Paul Pierce or Mo Spates or DeAndre Jordan, whoever they put on him. He should smash. So elite level tournament play. I think, you know, Cousins is probably my top play on the board on Wednesday. Then Anthony Davis is probably my number two guy. Paul Millsap, 7.8K. Tournament's only for me with Dwight Howard back. Something changes when Dwight's back. I mean, the usage goes down a little bit, but it's just – maybe they're not meshing that well on the court. You look at his field goal percentage, all over different spots of the floor, and where he gets shots when Dwight's in the game, and it's not good. So he can still give us 40, 45 FanDuel points, but I'm not going to trust it for cash. Coming off like a 13 FanDuel point night, Draymond Green, all the Golden State guys are really good tournament plays. Porzingis, 7.7K. Versus Atlanta. Is Porzingis' usage rate finally coming up? No. 23.4%. Atlanta defends that position pretty well. So Porzingis is not in an elite spot here, but he's, with his monster alien-like body, basically matchup-proof. Trying to real quickly see if they have played Atlanta yet this year. I don't think they have. Or if they did, they did it really early in the year. Yeah, they did back November 20th, and he had 32 FanDuel points. Yeah, so I really want 40 from him. He's tournament play only for me on Wednesday. Jokic is now 7K, and he's worth it, and I still will have some exposure to him again. I think, you know, he's shown he's a fantasy point-per-minute monster against the Clippers. I mean, 32 minutes. 46 FanDuel points. So if that's what he does against Paul Pierce and Mo Spates and DeAndre Jordan, think what Anthony Davis should do. You know, add on 20 to 30 to that 46. So Jokic, I think he's in another good spot. I mean, Gorgie Dang defense doesn't scare me, or Towns, whoever they put on him. I would guess it's going to be Dang. I'll probably only use him for tournaments, but he's fine. LaMarcus Aldridge, who's at as a resurrection last couple games, 44 and 50 the last two games. I don't remember him missing a shot against the Bulls. I think he started out the game like 10 for 10 from the field. That's because the Bulls put Robin Lopez on him, and who was always like 10 feet away from him. It was the worst. Like, why the Bulls did that, I'll never understand. Taj Gibson should have been defending him. Anyway, you know, the last time that San Antonio played Phoenix, LaMarcus played 27 minutes, got 22 points. That's the LaMarcus that I'm used to as a Spur. So I don't want to chase those points. Other people can do it on Wednesday. The Judge will not play a ton of him. Jabari Parker. Yeah, I like Parker, but I just don't love that game, the pace of that Milwaukee-Detroit game. So I'm not going to play a ton of him. Ibaka, another game. Charlotte and Orlando, I don't want a ton of. Who else? Let me dig down. We go, who else? I'm searching for guys. Thaddeus Young, 5.2K. I mean, he's become a pretty good cash game play at that price. 22, 36, 35, 28 the last four games. He's locked into low to mid-30s in minutes. And I think it's somewhat of a nice tempo game versus Washington. he should be fine. And quite honestly, so should Markieff. Indiana gives up the fifth most FanDuel points to opposing power forwards. So Markieff's in a nice spot here, coming off a 38-minute, 18 points, 27 FanDuel point night against the Bucks. So I like the spot for Markieff. He's going to be really low owned. There's a lot of good power, like value power forwards on Wednesday. Then you got Taj Gibson going up against Brooklyn. He should be able to get a double double in the first half. So I think he's safe for cash games on Wednesday. John Luehr, even though I do want to avoid this Milwaukee Detroit game for the most part, 4.9K. That's a price that's just he's gonna give me 20 FanDuel points too. He's now starting the last two games that he started, 24 and 21 FanDuel points. He's getting in like the mid high 20s, low 30s in minutes. So he's fine at that price. So he's fine for cash and tournaments. You can do it. The upside's probably not great, but you can. You want to use some Mo Buckets, Mo Spates, 4.2K for tournaments. You can do it. It's the minutes are still not great, even without Blake and without CP3 and without Redick. 15, 21, 14 last three games. 15, 23, 17 FanDuel points. And that's probably it for power forward. Center. Cousins, probably my top play on the slate. Giving some Portland defense, Plumlee, wherever they try to defend him. Portland struggles with bigs. Cousins have been playing just elite all the way around, 51 and 58 the last two. Then he had a 34, but that was against Gobert in Utah, so I'm not counting that. Then he had a 76 against Portland. That was against Portland. So last time he played Portland, 41 minutes, 55 points, 14 rebounds, 3 blocks, 1 steal, 76 FanDuel points. Does that interest you? It interests the judge. All formats, elite play. Carl Anthony Towns. I wish the price would come down a little bit. He's been pretty consistent last 10 games or so. He's been right around that 45 FanDuel point mark that he would need to give us value. Interesting spot here against Jokic. The one thing I guess I didn't mention. First of all, Jokic should be a center on FanDuel, so I'm not sure when they're going to make that move, but they should do it. I mean, I like him at power forward, but he's playing center, guys. Like FanDuel, get your act together. Jokic, as you guys probably know, if you watched him play at all, he struggles to stay out of foul trouble. So I'm not. If he's guarding Towns, if I was Mike Malone, I'd put him on Gorgui Dieng, because he's going to foul out in like 3 minutes on Towns. So that's my one concern on Jokic, by the way. If he starts out the game on Towns, so I got to figure out and see who he's going to be matched up on. Because Towns will be able to eat him alive offensively. So Towns, probably tournament only play for me, but fine at that price. Dwight Howard, I mentioned how New York centers, you can attack them. Dwight should be able to get 20 rebounds pretty easily on Wednesday. Not easily, but he should be able to do it. He's coming off a back issue as well. Only played 21 minutes against Minnesota, but gave you 40 FanDuel points the last game. So no one's going to play him on a 10-game slate. I'll play him in like one or two lineups. Andre Drummond, I'll throw him in probably one lineup. You can attack Bucks bigs. They struggle to rebound the ball as well. The problem with Drummond, man, he just offensively he's regressed. Stan Van is so scared to go to him like in the fourth quarter. It's pathetic. So it's his upside is. I mean, man, has he hit 50 this year? He's at 50 two times this year. He's at 50 and barely. So whatever. Drummond. So annoying. Brooke Lopez, 7.5K. Tournaments only. I mean, if Brooklyn can keep this game close against Chicago, especially if Lin's out, it's going to be because Lopez, matchup against his brother, goes nuts. They played the Bulls so early on in the year. I thought they played the Bulls early on in the year. Did they not? I could have swore they played the Bulls. Now I must check. Where is it? No, I don't even see it. Man, did I dream that? Did I imagine it? I could have swore it happened. Whatever. I don't see it either. So he's so gifted offensively. the usage rate for us, you know, for centers is the highest on the board on Wednesday, 28.3%. I don't know who's going to get him the ball. I mean, with Lynn out, I guess Whitehead's going to be starting. Tournaments only. There's so many centers that I like. So, but he'll be low owned, and he's an interesting tournament play. DeAndre Jordan is dropped down to 7K. That's interesting. I couldn't think of a better word. It's like 4:30 in the morning. I'm tired. but so he's 7K. When Blake was out last year, he absolutely smashed, and he made me and everyone else who played him so much money. Like, I find it hard to believe that's not going to happen again this year. Like it hasn't yet. He's still been pretty safe. 32, 24, 29, 27, the first few games without Blake. I think Chris Paul being out hurts him, as I mentioned on the previous pods, because it doesn't get him easy lobs. That's like 6, 8, 10 easy points, easy dunks each game. But at 7K, man, he should get every rebound in this game. I think he's fine for cash games, and I will use a lot of him in tournaments too, man. He's going to give me a 40-50 Fando point night coming up. I have no doubt about it. Now, it may be when Chris Paul comes back, but 7K, that's – man, without Blake, come on, DeAndre. Let's pick it up Wednesday. Vucevic, 6.7K. Charlotte does struggle to defend center, so maybe in one tournament, but that's I'm not a big fan of that. Plumdog, wow, Plumdog's price skyrocketed up to 6.6K because he's coming off a 37 Fando point night against Toronto. The last time he played Sacramento, he Cousins went nuts, but he went nuts. He played 27 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 55 Fando points. I like Plumlee again on Wednesday. The thing is, because they're not using a true point guard without Lillard, they're basically letting the offenses run through three people. That's CJ McCollum, Evan Turner when he gets in, and Plumlee. So it's expensive, and I don't know if I want to do it for cash. But for tournaments, I think Plumlee is a nice contrarian play. I mean, if people remember the fact that he put up a 55-point night against them, maybe his ownership will be relatively high. But I think on a 10-game slate, it'll still be okay. And he's a good play again. Paul Gasol, I mean, if he could ever get minutes, Phoenix can't defend the center position. Fast-paced game. It's just hard to pull the trigger on Paul Gasol. Miles Turner, 6.3. So Miles Turner and Gortat are the next two. They're playing each other, 6.3 and 6K. Both these guys are fine. I prefer Turner if you want to go tournaments. And I prefer Gortat a little bit safer if you want to play cash. My boy Valanciunas is next, 5.7K. Unfortunately, not the day to roll out Valanciunas because Golden State, I mean, it's harder for Jonas to get minutes anyway because Dwayne Casey just never plays him enough minutes, even though he's a fantasy point-per-minute monster. But Golden State's probably going to go small a lot of this game. And when they go small, you know, Dwayne Casey's probably going to match it, and Valanciunas will probably only get 24 minutes or so. If for some reason he did, I mean, if I was the coach, which I'm not, I would not go small with Golden State. I stay big. I let my bigs pound them, and I let Valanciunas eat. But no coach, seems to ever do that. So it's going to be hard to play Valanciunas. Tournaments only. Other than that, Robin Lopez, 4.7K against his brother. Brooklyn gives up the most Fando points to opposing centers. So he's in a good spot. Kyle O'Quinn, if you want to jump on that little canoe. That's about it for center for me. All right, that's it. We did it. That's the slate. Let's make sure we are still live on Google Hangouts. We are. Glorious. All right, so hopefully you guys made money on Tuesday. Hopefully you enjoy the slate Wednesday and you make some money. Have any questions or you want to get in the Chambers tournaments, holler at me on Twitter, at DanielAGreen1. Make sure you download the app Draft and challenge me. I am the judge on there. Use the correct promo code when you download it. It's DFBPOD. And other than that, that's it, man. It's late. Let's get to bed, and let's make some money. Let's get to New Year's. Let's get to the holidays. Where's my gavel? Bailiff, give me my gavel. All right, got it. Court is adjourned.